Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Sweep over the Hurricanes. Now the Penguins will have to wait to see if they face the Blackhawks or the Red Wings. Pittsburgh center Sidney Crosby.
I think for you guys there's a lot more storylines, you know, if it ends up Detroit. It doesn't matter to get this opportunity. You know what? I think a lot of guys in there, whether they were, you know, part of the team last year or guys who are new, now we feel really fortunate to have this opportunity. And to go what we went through last year was tough, but we've got a chance here and we want to make the most of it.
That's Pittsburgh center Sidney Crosby. You're listening to IRN USA Radio Sport.
Men and women, if you've got 10 to 30 pounds or more to lose, please listen carefully. Guys, many of us tend to overeat. We eat too much red meat, fast foods, and processed foods. This keeps the belly flabby and keeps our bodies overweight. Ladies, have you ever said, I feel fat today? Or do you have this bloated feeling? And how many of you have been trying to lose the same 10 to 20 pounds for years? There's a healthy and faster way to lose weight than any diet pill. It's called EverCleanse, a clinically proven weight loss and detox formula that helps you lose weight and get rid of the 5 to 25 pounds of waste that some experts say is trapped to the colon walls like spackle or paste. 2 weeks of EverCleanse may be equal to months of dieting. It's simple, too. Natural, tasteless crystals that dissolve in any food or beverage. EverCleanse will flatten out your midsection, reduce love handles, and bellies and bloating have been disappearing in just days. You see, EverCleanse gets rid of the weight you can't take off by exercising or starving yourself on a diet. And it's not something you have to take for the rest of your life. Call now to receive a very special offer.
Call 800-567-5598. Ask about a free supply. 800-567-5598. That's 800-567-5598.
Orlando can advance to the title series with a win in Game 5, which is slated for Thursday in Cleveland. The Magic defeated the Cavaliers 116-114 in the Eastern Conference Finals at Amway Arena. Dwight Howard scored 10 of his 27 points in the OT.
I think as a team we wanted more than any other year that I've been here. You know, I've been talking about winning the championship since I've been here, but I think this is the first year that, you know, everybody's locked in, you know, on our goal. And we just got to keep fighting.
If the Magic defeat Cleveland Thursday night, Orlando will secure their first trip to the NBA Finals since 1995. MVP LeBron James scored 44 points with 12 rebounds with 7 assists, but also accounted for 8 of Cleveland's 14 turnovers. John Clemens, IRN USA Radio Sports.
WYFI, Florence, Mount Holly, Philadelphia.
The time is now 9:01, 62 degrees.
The Burlington County Times is your local source for, well, all things local. Local news, local sports, local advertising, local...
Yeah, hello, you're listening to WNJC 1360 AM in Washington Township, New Jersey, also on the web at WNJC1360.com or Forsyth Broadcasting Company.
This is the Rob Call Bottom Up Radio Show, WNJC 1360, Progressive Liberal Talk Radio. The news you need to know that you don't get anywhere else.
Okay, hi, this is Rob Call, and welcome to the Rob Call Bottom Up Radio Show, where you get Progressive Liberal Talk Radio. Tonight, we're going to take some calls, if I can get the phone number read, we'll see what we can do with that.
You can call in at 856-227-1360 or 856-232-7077.
And those both work. Well, we also have a conference line on, too. That's great. All right, so let's hear some phone calls. What do you think about the Sotomayor pick to the Supreme Court? Are you happy with her? Does she do the job? If you're a liberal, is she liberal enough? If you're a conservative, what do you think of her? What about Korea? Are we doing the right thing there? Should we ignore them? Should we get real serious with them? Should we blockade their ships? We've got some interesting things going on in the world right now. I talk a lot about health care. I think it's one of the most important issues we're facing right now. It's hard to live today and not know somebody who has faced some kind of a problem with health care where they didn't get the care they needed. They avoided getting health care because they couldn't afford to pay for it. Or they got health care and it was so expensive that it broke their bank and made them go bankrupt or go into debt. We know that about 1 million people a year go bankrupt because of health-related problems, and that 70% of them have health insurance. That's right, 70% of them. If you think you're safe because you've got health insurance, you're kidding yourself. And we know that if the U.S. developed a single-payer or universal health plan so that everybody in the country had health insurance like they have it in England and Canada and Taiwan and Japan and Germany and France and Italy and every other advanced country in the world, then if you currently get Medicare, you'd have better health insurance. You'd have less out-of-pocket expenses, and you would have more choices and options. Just think about that. You know, I often think that the people who have Medicare, they don't worry too much about this whole health insurance business because they're covered. Well, the fact is you would be covered better and it would cost you less. That's a good reason to support it, even if it doesn't seem like it's a direct issue for you. So this is the Rob Call Bottom Up Radio Show, WNJC 1360, and we're supported by www.opednews.com, opednews.com. Op-Ed News is a liberal, progressive news and opinion site. This week, one of our editors appeared on Fox News, on the Neil Cavuto show, I believe it was, and he's been invited back again. Later in the week, on Tuesday, the New York Times mentioned Op-Ed News in an article. We've been around for 6 years. We've got over 30,000 registered members. We see about anywhere from 500,000 to 800,000 unique visitors a month. That's opednews.com. And if you're sick and tired of the Philadelphia Inquirer, where they publish a regular column by John Yoo, Y-O-O, the attorney for the Bush administration, who said, oh, it's okay to torture. If that offends you and you're disgusted by it like I am, and you think that you've got very little choice on the kind of news that you can get in the Delaware Valley in Philadelphia and in South Jersey, go to www.opednews.com. where there's tough, hard-hitting, progressive, liberal news that talks about what's going on in the world today. And just because we're liberal doesn't mean that we put up with the nonsense that we're seeing from the Obama administration either. A lot of our readers support Obama, but a lot of our readers believe that it's really the way to support him is to hold his feet to the fire. And so we see a lot of articles on our site challenging just how Obama's doing it. Now, Obama's getting some things right, getting some things wrong, and it's nice to have a source that will talk about all of those. So check out www.opednews.com. Tonight, I don't have any guests scheduled for the show. I'm hoping that I'm going to hear from somebody, that somebody will call in. And that's the plan for tonight. So, you want to get on the show? We announced the number earlier, and I'm going to announce it again in just a minute. And we'll get you on the show. had some good questions. So the number to call is 856-232-7077. That's 856-232-7077 or 856-232-7078. Give a call, and let's hear from you about what you think about what's going on nowadays. What do you think about the stimulus? What do you think about the Supreme Court appointment? How about the war? Did you remember that we have a war going on, that the Congress, the Democratic-controlled Congress, just authorized to have $90 billion to spend on with no end in sight, with increased troops going to Afghanistan? Do you think that's a good idea? I don't. I think that Afghanistan is a bottomless pit. Afghanistan is a place that every big country that's ever gone there has failed to conquer, dominate, control. It doesn't happen. England tried, they couldn't do it. Russia tried, they couldn't do it. No, we're trying. I don't think we're going to do it either. I think we have to take a different look at it and figure out a way to help the Afghan people lead themselves. That's what we said is only going to happen in Iraq. Now, I am not at all an isolationist, but I don't believe that we can, on the other hand, do nation building and go in there and change the world. We have to help the people. We have to help them, and you don't do that with soldiers going in with planes bombing and things like that. You need to take a bottom-up approach. The way you help the country to become an independent, strong nation is to help them to become independent and strong through commerce and through education and by showing them ways that their democracy can work for them. You can't inject democracy into a nation. It has to be embraced. You can't force it on somebody. You can't give it to somebody. You can give them support, but it can't be the forced kind of support that we've been doing. So, not going to happen that way. But I'm talking about something old. I mean, who cares about the war? Who cares about Afghanistan and Iraq? That's old news, right? I mean, it's off the front pages, isn't it? I'm sorry, but it shouldn't be. It should be right up there because we're still losing troops. We're still losing our blood. We're still losing billions of dollars. And it's wrong that it's been forgotten. The good news is some families are allowing the bodies, the coffins of the people that they've lost, the troops who have been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, to be shown on television when they come home. And you know what? It's a solemn, tragic, but beautiful thing to see. Because what it shows is courageous people who died for their country. So why would we hide that? Why would we make that as though it's something embarrassing or something that you don't want to show proudly? I'll tell you why. You do that if you're ashamed of what you're doing. You do it if you're ashamed that they died for bad reasons. You do that if you know that you lied and you defrauded and you corrupt, you used corrupt, dishonest means to get those people, those troops who were killed in that box. And so we have now Dick Cheney saying that he's proud of the way that torture was used and that it was only used on three people. Now it was only used on three people that they were not able to destroy the records of. Remember, they destroyed videotapes, over 100 videotapes. The CIA destroyed them. Well, let's talk a little bit about Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi accused the CIA of lying. And then Newt Gingrich comes along and sanctimoniously says, oh, she should apologize. And John Boehner, the minority leader for the House, you know, says, oh, she should apologize. Apologize for what? The CIA has been used by presidents in the past again and again. And the CIA has been deceptive and misleading again and again in throughout history. What's that I hear on my phone? Click, click, click. Yeah, maybe it's the CIA. I wouldn't be surprised. I started this enterprise 6 years ago, publishing op-ed news, kicking butt and not taking any prisoners and not being afraid to have a voice and speak out. And I wouldn't be surprised if I've got a file with the CIA. For what? For speaking out? For calling scum scum? Oh, yes. Maybe I'm talking about Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. Scum. Scum. That's what I think. I'm sorry. I know this is not good for my heart. You know, I gotta watch that. I'm sure you're worried about that. But I guess I was talking about the CIA. I was talking about the CIA and Nancy Pelosi and Dick Cheney and Newt Gingrich and all that whole right-wing echo chamber going, oh, it's terrible to say nasty things about the CIA. You know, the whole, they should call it the hypocrisy chamber. Because, of course, Newt Gingrich questioned the CIA in the past. It's such a bunch of garbage. The fact is the CIA does what the president tells them to do. And the reason the CIA does that is because it's their job. It's the way the laws are written. It's literally part of their job to do whatever the F the president says for them to do, period. And so we had George Tenet lying or misleading or deceiving Colin Powell. And Colin Powell, he knew. I do not believe that he was fooled by them. They gave him enough material so that he could help to sell the story that Bush and Cheney were pushing to start the war. And now we're talking about torture. Now we're talking about how the CIA supposedly gave briefings to Nancy Pelosi and a handful of other people. Well, I'm pretty sure that if they misled Colin Powell, which we now know that they did, if they used evidence obtained by torture that they of somebody who they knew lied, then I'm fairly confident that that's what they did with Nancy Pelosi, too. They gave her what President Bush told them to give her. In complete misleading, known-to-be-wrong evidence that was later thrown away. That's my guess of what happened. Now, last week I had on Cindy Sheehan, and Cindy ran against Nancy Pelosi. She's no fan of Nancy Pelosi. And so, you know, she was pretty sure that Nancy knew what she was doing. But I really do believe that it's very likely that what happened in the run-up to the war was a lot of deception and misleading. And I have a feeling it could happen in a lot of different ways, and that it could still be happening. We've got now the situation in Korea, and I'm sure that the president is depending on all kinds of CIA information, whatever they can get out of North Korea. My guess is it's pretty tightly locked up there, and there's not much that they have available that they're going to depend upon. Not human. You know, there's different kinds of intelligence. There's human intelligence, there's signal intelligence, et cetera. And so they're probably looking at intel that is not direct from people. They're trying to pull it together through analysis and from picking up signals and from flyovers and what have you. And the bottom line is, I don't think it's going to help much. I think that what they need to do is use smarts and wisdom. And, you know, back a long time ago, we have an article on opednews.com that talks about how the U.S. threatened using an atom bomb on North Korea. And the title of it is U.S. Threat to Atom Bomb North Korea Never Forgotten. And then the brief description of it is, on November 30th, 1950, President Truman at a press conference remarked that the use of the atomic bomb was under active consideration. to reinter this as menacingly foreboding, apocalyptic, for U.S. forces were in retreat and had suffered losses when China sent volunteer forces to North Korea 45 days earlier. North Korea, ever since then, has gone to great expense to acquire nuclear capability. And I wonder if it was that memory. The writer, Jay Jansen, writes, is it that memory of that U.S. threat that has fueled North Korea's nuke paranoia? Maybe it is. Maybe the chickens coming home to roost, to use a phrase that popped up during the election. And there are an awful lot of chickens out there because there have been an awful lot of foolish actions, an awful lot of foolish statements that American leaders in different capacities have made. And we all have to live with all that American karma now. Cheney said one thing that probably was a slip, that, you know, part of the problem in the Middle East is that we back Israel. Now, I'm Jewish. I want to see Israel be strong and safe. But the fact is that we have to recognize it, that backing Israel is a liability for us. It causes a lot of hate and enmity aimed at the United States from the whole Arab world, 1 billion Muslims. And, you know, now we've got a situation where we've got Bibi Netanyahu, an extreme right-wing leader of Israel, who's basically telling Obama, sorry, but I'm not going to listen to you. We'll take your billions and billions of dollars in funding, but we're not going to do anything what you say. We're going to continue building our settlements, and we're going to continue doing all the things that the psycho-radical, extremist, right-wing, orthodox, fundamentalist Jews in Israel think they need to do. And you know, the problem is, yes, I know, I have a problem with fundamentalists. They can be Jewish, they can be Christian, they can be Islamic. If you're a fundamentalist, you have distorted your faith. You have taken it and you have moved it to a place that is man-made and far from what God did with it. And usually if you're a fundamentalist, then you are intolerant, and you think your religion and your faith is better than everybody else's. I've seen this over and over again with all these different faiths, and I really believe that if you're a fundamentalist, then probably if there were some way for the all-powerful being to look and see what you were doing, the response would be, that's an abomination. Because we're all here, and we're all part of God, and I'm sure that there are a billion, trillion, gazillion ways of that God manifests his or itself, and they're all good, and one is not better than the other. But in Israel, you've got this crazy situation where a very small percentage of the population are these Orthodox Jews. They don't have to go into the military. They're exempted because of their religious status. And they got that way because they make up these small little splinter members of the parliament, and they cut deals to give power to the bigger groups. But those deals give them an influence that's unbelievable. And so we have the situation where Obama tells Netanyahu, I want to see a stop to this settlement building, and not Netanyahu gives him the finger or his thumb. It ain't right. It just ain't right. And it's a big problem because APAC, the American-Israeli PAC that supports Israel, is unbelievably powerful. Now, being Jewish, I don't like APAC. I think it's bad for America. I think it's bad for Israel. There are other groups. There's J Street, and Google it and check it out. It is a very different organization that does call for peace. It does call for treating the people of Gaza and the Palestinians like human beings. And we need to change that. But right now, any politician who does anything to piss off AIPAC is going to be in big, big trouble. And so they don't. None of them. Well, one did. McKinney. McKinney did. She ran for president as a Green, and she was a member of Congress. And when she stood up and said Israel shouldn't be doing that, AIPAC went in and funded an opponent, and she got creamed. And the other members of Congress all saw it, and they all know that you better kowtow to AIPAC, and it's bad news. And it's really something that I don't see any way in the near future that that's going to change, and it should. It should be different. And I think it's going to take Jews like me, and I've been a member of a synagogue and a board member of a synagogue, so I'm an active one, to actually stand up and say, AIPAC's not good. AIPAC is not something you should listen to. So, let's get some phone calls in here. Give a call. 856-232-7077 and tell me what you think. Or 856-232-7078. WNJC AM 1360, the Rob Call Bottom Up Radio Show. And it's freewheeling tonight. Talking about whatever comes into my mind. So, looks like some interesting things are coming up on the horizon. Next week, I'll be going to the America's Future Conference. It's got a new name. It used to be called the Take Back America Conference. And they changed the name. Why? Because we did it. We took back America. Now, that's what Democrats say. That's what liberals say. But there's another group of lefties further left. They're Greens, they're independents, there are libertarians who might identify themselves as lefties. I don't. If you're a libertarian, as my friend Tom Hartman says, then you're the kind of person who wants to smoke, dope, get laid, but not pay any taxes or have any government. You're kind of a social liberal and a fiscal and government conservative. I actually find libertarians to be kind of, how do I put this nicely? I don't put it nicely. No, I better just not go there. Libertarians are right up there with right-wingers, and I guess they cut a little slack on women's rights and on some issues that are social issues. But they can be the worst. On opednews.com, www.opednews.com, we've got all kinds. We've got libertarians, we've got far lefties, we've got moderates, we've got conservatives. About 13% of our readers are conservatives. They actually had voted for George Bush or for John McCain, and they come on and read us and are regularly a part of us because they like the conversation, because we do give them a voice, and we do have that conversation. So check it out, www.opednews.com. You know, I call the radio show the Rob Call Bottom Up Radio Show because I'm very interested in the idea of bottom up. The bottom up idea, I guess I was really turned on to it when I got into a conversation with Joe Trippi last year, just about a year ago, a little over a year ago. He was talking about, and Joe Trippi was Howard Dean's campaign manager and John Edwards' campaign manager, and he was talking about how Obama had basically, literally, defeated the most powerful, successful, effective campaign that was a top-down campaign in history. That's Hillary Clinton's campaign. She had an incredible array of famous, powerful people behind her. She had all the money she could need, incredible fundraising resources, and she was defeated by a bottom-up campaign. What is bottom-up? Bottom-up is an approach to things that is participatory, that is cooperative, that is sharing, that is open to all kinds of people being involved, that is inclusive. And that's what Obama did. I had a chance to interview a while back his grassroots campaign director. And that director gave Obama credit for this vision. And Obama implemented that vision in the website and the way that they put together incredible teams with leaders throughout the country in every community. I saw it in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, where I live, and it was amazing. It was amazing to see how they built a team that enabled and encouraged people at in the community level to get involved so much. So much more than the Kerry Camp did in 2004. And there was the website that was designed to help bring people in and then keep them connected and keep them participating and getting them connected with other people. This is what bottom-up is all about. Bottom-up is, that's how I got started getting interested in bottom-up. Then I discovered something. I discovered that the bottom-up concept is something that, if you're under 30, it's the way your brain works. If you're under 30, you use bottom-up technology every day, and it's the way you think. You grew up instant text messaging, 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 of your friends simultaneously. You grew up with the idea that you didn't send a letter to one person, you put a stamp on, you wrote something, and then you could blast it out to 100 or 1,000 people. That's bottom-up technology, being able one-to-many, reach many people. The young people today are familiar with the biggest companies being Amazon and Google and Apple with iTunes. Amazon is a bottom-up company. It makes sales based on other people's recommendations. When you look at a product, you look at the feedback on it. You look to, when you click on it, Amazon knows, once you click on that product, what other people who click on that product eventually bought, and they can suggest it to you. Google bases its search results on how people act. So when you put in a search term, they're going to tell you how other people act in going to different websites. And if you're with iTunes, well, iTunes does the same kind of thing. It shows the most popular one, and then whatever you pick, it knows because it's looked at how other people decide what it's going to show you. And, of course, if you're on the Internet, you're probably on a website or visiting websites that are run on Linux. Linux is an operating system that was designed by thousands of people. Now, if you're over 30, you're at a big disadvantage. You need to really understand how bottom-up works. If you don't understand how bottom-up works, then you're stuck with a top-down brain in a newly emerging bottom-up world. And that can leave you at a huge disadvantage. If you're in business and you don't get bottom-up processes and the bottom-up technologies and bottom-up ways of doing things, then you're going to really not know how to engage the world to make the most of your business opportunities. If you are in business or if you're involved in an organization and you have to be engaging in a project, there's a bottom-up way to do a project. There's a top-down way of doing a project. And if you only do the top-down way and you're working with people who have bottom-up brains,
people under 30, for people who spend a lot of time on the web and who are web-wise, they're going to look at you and go, what's wrong with you? You don't get it. And I think that part of the problem that we're facing now in the U.S. and the whole world with this economic crisis is we've got a bunch of top-down thinkers who just don't get bottom-up. Now, Obama, while he was waiting to be installed as president, almost every day would say, I'm going to take bottom-up approaches to this stuff. The day after the election, I was invited to go down to a summit meeting of the progressive media and members of the Senate. So I got a chance to talk to about 15 or 20 Democratic senators. I walked away with the impression that hardly any of them really understood what bottom-up is all about. Hey, they're mostly over 60 or over 70. Well, some of the newly elected ones were younger, but most of them, they're older. They're all over 30, and they don't get it. They don't get it that just talking about jobs is not enough of a way to deal with bottom-up. You've got to take it further. I'll be back to talk more about it. First, I want to do a station ID and an ad. This is the Rob Call Bottom-Up Radio Show, WNJC 1360 AM, reaching South Jersey and Metro Philly. I'm Rob Call, talking progressive, liberal news and opinion. And we're sponsored by www.opednews.com. That's OPEDNEWS.com. If you want to get news that is not influenced by big corporations and right-wing toxic echo chamber garbage, and you're sick and tired of what you get from the Inquirer, which employs John Yoo, the torture lawyer who encouraged the Bush administration to engage in torture. If you're disgusted with Big Talker, well, you're listening here. That's a good thing. Then you want to check out opednews.com, www.opednews.com, where we're not afraid to call a spade, and a right-wing moron. You know, I'm looking at the headlines now, and we've got one article by one of our brilliant writers. His name is Phil Rockstrow, and he wrote a piece, Against the Tortured Logic of Obama's Placebo Presidency, A Call for the Audacity of Hopelessness. I'm going to read you a little bit of it. And I got to say, Phil represents some of the readers and writers on the site who are pretty disgusted with Obama. Now, I'm talking to him. You know, it's funny. Philadelphia is voted like 80% for Obama, yet its main radio talk radio station is a bunch of right-wing Neanderthals who are talking to a tiny, tiny percentage of the population. And if you're one of those right-wing Neanderthals, well, screw you. I'm sorry, but, you know, what you did supporting Bush and Cheney the last 8 years took this country down. We're on our way to becoming a banana republic. You know, it's amazing. I know people, they're out of work, they can't have health care, they're struggling to get by, and they still say, oh, I don't want socialist medicine. We have the best medical system in the world. But the people who are saying it can't even get the medicine. They can't even get the health care. They're being screwed. They're being screwed all over the place. At one point, you know, I speculated that it's now around 22% of the population that identifies themselves as Republicans. That's about the same percentage of the population that have been abused as children. Yeah, I know. Some of you just don't want to pay those taxes. You're the libertarians, I know. That's a different psychological morbidity. Yeah, I'm a liberal, I'm a progressive, and, you know, there are days when I just love everyone, but there are also days when it's like, well, screw you. You guys screwed up this country for 8 years. And why?
so you could feel you had bigger testicles by saying, we're going to war, we're tough, America kicks butt? I'm sorry, but America didn't kick butt. America screwed up. America was deceived. America was made fools of. And those of you who voted for Bush, you were the ones who were made the biggest fools. But now, when a man takes care of a woman who is engaged in a sexual activity with someone else, he's called a cuckold. C-U-C-K-O-L-D. And it's kind of what I think the Bush administration did to you. If you're a right-winger who supported the Bush administration, and now you're suffering and now you're struggling, yeah, you're going to blame Obama because he went in and inherited this? I don't think so. Of course, you probably most of the right-wingers listening have already hung up, so you're a liberal and you're listening to this. Sorry if I'm going over this harangue. So anyway, I want to read a little bit of Phil Rockstro. He's a New Yorker. Yeah, a liberal New Yorker. Good guy. And he's talking a bit about some of the beef. On a collective, so this is Phil Rockstro in an article on opednews.com, and he says, on a collective basis, we as a nation are living through such a time. At present, we are witnessing the descending spiral of Icarusian capitalism. Now, remember Icarus, the boy who made the wings, made connected with wax, who flew so close to the sun that it melted them and he fell? We're witnessing the descending spiral of Icarusian capitalism, our sacred delusion of the perpetual ascendancy of a godlike marketplace lies broken in the dust. Malls and McMansions stand abandoned, desolate as the edifices of forgotten gods. As the come ones of the salesmen of deregulated capitalism are churned to spittle amid a cacophony of collapsing market platitudes. And not an uptick in public optimism, nor a surge of euphoria on Wall Street, nor the invisible hand of the marketplace sprinkling pixie dust will bring back the Olympian days of 2005 when wise men of Washington and Wall Street knew the force of gravity was just a myth believed in by those embittered prophets of doom whose only joy in life is fantasizing the fall of their wealthy betters. It doesn't matter a damn how many dollars our present-day believers of neoliberal tall tales, President Obama and President Secretary and Treasury Secretary Geithner, pour into the hole in the ground where the crash occurred. A beanstalk twining skyward towards a golden debt-negating goose will not flower forth. You get the idea. We're at a point now where we need big changes. We need bold changes. And we're not seeing them from Obama. What we're seeing are small, little attempts to tweak a dying, broken system. If there's one thing we learn, the philosophy that capitalism is self-healing, if you just let it go, if you let go of all the regulations, it will work. The market will out. It's a crock. It's worshiping the false god. And so, you are living through a time. Maybe not you. Maybe you still got that job. Maybe you still got those good bennies. But you know people around you who don't. And maybe that job of yours isn't as secure as it once was. And maybe that pension that you had, well, there's almost very little chance that it's a maybe. Most likely that pension you had that you were planning to retire with in X number of years, maybe you've had to double that number of years now, or maybe you will never be able to retire. And even though you've got a good job now with good benefits, well, you know that those health insurance companies are just cutting them back year after year. You know that that $5 copay you had 5 years ago went to 10, then 20, then 30. You know that what you pay for your drugs has gone up and up and up. And yet we've got the White House trying to tweak things. We've got these bulldog conservative Democrats
playing it much too close with the insurance companies. Much too close. Because the insurance companies, there aren't any good ones. Let's get that straight. You think that the nonprofit blues are good? I'm sorry, but they're not. They are a big part of the problem. Believe me, in the background, they're funding and they're planning and they're working with all these other insurance companies to do everything they can to scare the crap out of you so that you'll be afraid. So they're running ads now. Oh, I live in Canada and I didn't get my heart diagnosed properly. And then I went to the United States and I did, and it's wonderful. Well, I'm sorry, but in the United States, there are plenty of people who don't get their hearts diagnosed properly. And there are probably tens of thousands of those stories in the United States. But what is shameful is, what about all the people who don't get a diagnosis at all? Now, you're better than them, right? Maybe somebody you know is better than them because they have a job and they get insurance because they work. I'm sorry, but, you know, there are all these hundreds of millions of people, maybe a billion people in Canada and Germany and Italy and France and England and Japan and Taiwan, and in those countries, every single person is good enough to get health insurance. Why? Because they're civilized countries. They don't live in a banana republic where people think they're better than other people, better enough so that those other people should die. Because they do. They die. Or they should steal. Or they should go bankrupt. Yeah, people steal. Joe's wife has cancer. She needs medication that costs $2,000 a month. He's got a choice. Let her die or steal. What's the wrong thing to do? This is what hundreds of thousands of people are doing in America today. And so what do we get? What do we get on television? What do we get in the newspaper? Torture. Dick Cheney said this. Colin Powell said this. Nancy Pelosi said this. That shouldn't be the story. The story that we should be having every day on the front page and in the main pieces in the TV should be about health insurance. We should be hearing about these people. The people who steal, they should be pardoned, and they should be honored, and they should be sympathized with, because they shouldn't have to go through this. Only in America. You know, that used to be something that was a phrase that we would brag with. Only in America. Yeah, only in America people go bankrupt because they don't have health insurance. Only in America, 70% of the people who go bankrupt have insurance, but the insurance stinks because they're defrauded, because they're given insurance policies that don't stand up when it comes down to it. Only in America. What about America? Are you proud of America? Yeah, there are some ways that I'm proud of America. America has a good history. America does some good things. America has a lot of good intentions, but intentions aren't everything. I get that flack in my personal life sometimes. Well, that's not what I intended. Yeah, well, it's not always about what you intended. It's about what happened. America has been on a good intentions, bad actions, bad outcomes bent for too long. We've got to clean up our act, and that's going to take big, bold steps. I'd like to hear a phone call. Can you call in? 856-232-7077 or 856-232-7078. Call in and let's hear from you. 856-232-7077. Is there anybody out there? So I was talking about bottom-up. I was talking about how bottom-up applies to the economy. I had a chance last summer to talk to Madeleine Albright, the first female Secretary of State. And I asked her about Bottom Up, and she said absolutely it was an essential way that they were able to connect with the people in the country to make things happen when sometimes diplomacy at the top didn't work. I know I had a chance to go to Russia a couple years after Glasnost, in 1993, and Glasnost happened in 1989. And I saw how it was technology, it was bottom-up technology that helped to bring about the end of the Soviet Union and democracy in Russia. It was fax machines and photocopiers, mimeograph machines, and telephones. Those were the kind of things that enabled people to connect and to talk to each other. Now we have the Internet. The Internet wasn't really around in 1989. And we have so many more tools that are bottom-up tools. That's why we're in a time of bottom-up revolution, where the bottom-up mind is emerging. And the fascinating thing is when you start thinking about bottom-up and you start looking around you, you start finding ways that it manifests itself. You start finding ways that you can operate in a bottom-up way. Now, I publish opednews.com, www.opednews.com, a progressive liberal media opinion and news site. And I started it as a personal blog, and I started inviting people to write for it. And now we publish about 2,000 articles a month. And it only took to the point where I was getting about 10 or 15 or 20 articles a day, where I was being overwhelmed. I didn't want to spend my time pasting articles into the site, so I had to redesign it. So it was a kind of an automated site. If you're a programming person, it was PHP, MySQL. And then I started getting volunteers to help, getting volunteer editors. Now we have close to 50 volunteer editors. And what I discovered was the more that I gave over the decision-making about the site to the members, to the editors, the better it did, the better I felt. That, to me, was a huge lesson. It showed me that I could let go of control. And really, that's a bottom-up kind of a thing. If you're thinking the opposite of bottom-up is top-down, and the top-down is not that, has not been around that long. If you think about it, humanity has been on this planet, I don't know, 30,000, 50,000, 100,000 years, Homo sapiens, and before that, there were indigenous cultures that lived around campfires, and hunted, and gathered. And most of those people, unless they were starving, were pretty nice to each other. They lived in a bottom-up way. The people decided. The tribe got together, and they made choices. Now, there were elders who played a role in providing wisdom. But it was a bottom-up kind of a world. Then civilization came along. And the civilization became specialization. And the civilization became hierarchy. There were some people who were more powerful than other people. Some people who were dominators. There were kings and lords. There were masters, and there were serfs, and there was the feudal state. And that's how the top-down world came into being. And the top-down idea, the top-down model, the top-down approach infected humanity. And in some ways, it was a good thing. Invention and farming, and the creation of cities, the specialization of work, these were all things that came out of that. But sometimes an invention might top down approaches. That's an invention. Sometimes an invention goes too far. Sometimes an invention opens up new possibilities, and then you can let go of lots of the pieces and parts. You dig a hole in the ground to build a building with a giant shovel. Once the hole is done, you don't need the shovel. And now we are in a world with great specialization, but maybe we don't need all the hierarchies we've had. Maybe we can get rid of some of them. Maybe we can get rid of some of the power structures that we've had. Now, it's clear that giving big chunks of billions of dollars to a handful of banks was a mistake. That first $700 billion bailout that Bush managed, that was a disaster, and it was all wrong. And it could very well be that Geithner's approach is not going to be any better. Now, a bottom-up approach would be if you and I and individuals were given in some way some of that money that we would get from banks. So millions, tens or hundreds of millions of us would all benefit, and then the banks would benefit by being the conduits for the money. That's a way to do it that can make things work. We're in a world that is bottom up. There are still top down edifices. There are still top down dinosaurs walking among us. There are top down fossils sticking out of the ground. There are top down leaders in many, many organizations, but they're on their way out. There's a place for top-down, but top-down can no longer function alone. It's not smart enough. It's not flexible enough. It's not inclusive enough. There's a book, The Wisdom of the Crowd. It describes how there is enormous wisdom. There's another book. I can't think of the name of it now. There's another book that is about how things are done from the bottom up, that it's sweeping business, so that businesses, if they don't get it, they're going to be left behind. It's the future. Get on board. Now, bottom up doesn't just apply to business. It doesn't just apply to economics. It doesn't apply to politics. It applies to your life, too. If you want to be happy, you have to have the basic building blocks. And that takes some basic bottom-up skills personally. You have to be able to relax. You have to be able to open up. You have to be able to express feelings and feel comfortable expressing your feelings. That means warm, good feelings, too. If you want to be happy, you have to be able to have positive experiences. And the ability to have positive experiences is a bottom-up capacity. But you do need to have yourself open up. To have a positive experience, you've got to be open, and you've got to notice when there are opportunities for positive experiences. And they don't just slap you in the face, and it's not like God comes down to you and says, "Here's your positive experience now." No, it doesn't work that way. Positive experiences walk in front of you as you go through your life, and you have to notice them. You have to be open to them. People who are depressed, people who are angry, people who are tense and rigid or stressed out, they have this very narrow focus, this very narrow view, and they don't see the opportunities for positive experiences. And if they happen to, by accident, notice one, they're so tense and so rigid and so constricted that they can't open themselves up to experience the positive experience, to go with it, to flow with it. And then if they happen to manage to flow with it, maybe they don't let themselves experience the feelings. You know, half the people, half the population has a hard time expressing emotion. Half the population doesn't get a chill up the back of their neck when they listen to music or engage in parades or do the kinds of things that the other half of the population does get thrills and chills up the back of the neck about. Half the population, 5% of a study of cadavers in Japan, 5% of the cadavers in Japan didn't have smile muscles. They'd atrophy to the point where they didn't exist.